119th Psalm and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Here is someone speaking in the first verse of meditating on the word. Going to look at that for a little while. And then the two results of that meditation in verses 98 to 100 and verses 101 to 104. He speaks of law. We know that that is, the Hebrew word is Torah. It means instruction. The psalmist may well have only had the five books of Moses, perhaps one or two others. We don't know by his day. But the whole word of God is instruction for us, and that we are to meditate on all the word of God. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's instruction. It's to meditate on the word which teaches us how to live. And that is the aspect of God's word, a very important aspect, which is brought before us here and indeed often in this psalm and often in other places too. There are things in God's word which teach us about him. There are things in God's word which teach us about what he's going to do or what he has done. But a very important purpose, perhaps in a sense the most vital purpose, is to instruct us, yes, about him, but so that we can walk with him, about having a relationship with him, about obeying him, about trusting him, about our daily lives. And so we need to be a people who meditate all the day, it says, on God's law. I'm sure the psalmist didn't mean literally every moment, waking moment. He had other things to do. He wasn't a monk who could sit in a study and just meditate on the word. What is meditation on the word? Well, it is study, isn't it? But it's study of a particular sort. We could say it's prayerful study, but that only begins to get into it. It's the sort of study where you have the Bible in front of you, where you have and where you're seeking God to help you, and you're praying it through to God and asking him to help you to understand it in order that you might obey it. Lord, here's your word. Bring these wonderful things out of it that I might understand it in order that I might obey what you want me to do. Who does this? Well, we all should if we're Christ's people. It is the godly who do it. You go back to the first psalm and you have there, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So here is a godly man. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so. This is the righteous man, it says, verse 5 and verse 6, the man who is walking in God's ways. We, by Christ, are brought to God, and we are brought to be the people who love then the word of God, because we love the Lord. And therefore we are to meditate upon his word because we love that word. If you love a person or indeed a thing, you might think often of it. We love the Lord, and I hope we think often of him. And we should love the word, and we should be in it as much as we are able to be in it. Do we love it so much as to cry out, oh, how I love your law? There's a challenge to us, isn't it, in this first verse. And not just, I think, in by voice. Our lives ought to, if we are meditating on the word of God and it's infusing us and it's changing us, then our lives ought to show the reality that we love God's law, that we love God's instruction. Our lives should cry out to those around us. Here is someone who loves the Bible. and not just loves to hear it or to read it, but loves to meditate upon it and therefore to do it. It is through the word that we are sanctified, that we grow in holiness. Our lives should increasingly say that here we are, people who meditate on God's law, and it has changed us. The world won't understand it, and if we explain it, the world won't believe it, usually, why we are as we are. But nevertheless, the witness should be there of the fruit of the meditation on the word of God. So let's look at these two results. Verses 98 to 100, I'll come to the verses individually, but there's some things I think we need to say first. We've said, haven't we, that meditation is in order to obey, and therefore this is what is being taught of here, and this passage in verses 98, 99, 100 culminates in, because I keep your precepts. And this is because meditation leads us to have, the words here are in verse 98, wiser. Verse 99, I have more understanding. Verse 100, I understand more. I don't think we need to, we will be in a moment looking at the verses individually. At this point, we don't need to distinguish those things too much. Wisdom, the word in verse 99, some translations have insight. Understanding. Knowledge of how to live aright before God. That is the result of meditation on God's word. He's going to compare himself to three people. We come to that in a moment. But before we come to that detail, in Colossians 1, remember how it is that Paul prays for the Colossians, verse 8, 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, since we heard of you, Paul is saying, since we heard of your faith, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This wisdom, insight, understanding, which we're coming to in a moment, is not just a book knowledge, a head knowledge, even an understanding of how people ought to live. It is an understanding of how we ought to live, which actually means that we live it. It's something living. You could have somebody, couldn't you, who I suppose, who knows what's in a heart, but you could imagine a preacher who stands up and instructs his congregation, maybe year on year, fruitfully from the word as to how they should live their Christian lives, and maybe effectively so, and yet himself, he's not moulded by the word at all. You can't say that in this sense he has the wisdom and the understanding. He has it up here to impart it, but he doesn't have it in his heart. Wisdom and understanding in the scriptures are moral attributes. And so this comes from this right relationship with God. You notice he speaks of you through your commandments when we get into verse 98. He's saying, Lord, you're working in me. You're giving me wisdom. You're giving me insight. More than these three groups of people. Verse 98. You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. For they means your commandments, are ever with me. Wiser than our enemies. Now we might have enemies for various reasons. Hopefully not because we've done something that gives them a justification to be our enemies. But people who will turn against us, and sometimes people will turn against other people, with nothing to do with Christianity, won't they? But this is, obviously the context here is the people who are his enemies, the psalmist's enemies, because they are God's enemies. They are those that oppose God. And we find that, of course, and we know that in this world. And sadly, we know that even sometimes it's people who would call themselves Christians who would be opposers of us, sometimes the most severe opposers of us. You can look at all the trouble that's been at the, for example, in the Christian Union at Edge Hill, and see that. You can see it in some of the things that have been going on at the General Synod, not been following it closely, but it's hardly been edifying. People haven't really had a good go at each other. Because some are following the word and some are not. Some are people who are following God and some are not. And the psalmist, without boasting, can say, I'm wiser than my enemies. He says, the Lord has done it through your commandments. Your commandments are ever with me. The world lives by a worldly wisdom, an external wisdom, a sinful wisdom, a wisdom which might you could impart to one another and say, this is how you think we should live. This is the way to get through life. This is the way to succeed. This is the way to avoid pitfalls, whatever, that's that worldly wisdom. But the greatest wisdom is to obey God. And the psalmist's enemies disobey God. And it's always wiser to obey God than to disobey God, as everyone will find out on the last day. So he says, you've made me wiser than my enemies, or you make me, rather. It's a continual thing, isn't it? And verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I'm sure I've shared with you before, I won't go into it again, the trouble I got into at school for knowing more than one of my, primary school, for knowing more than one of my teachers and correcting her. I was vindicated in the end. But that's not the teachers that are thought of here, is it? This would be within the context of God's people, Israel. This is within the context of those who would teach the law. And you go on from this man's day, and you will, because we don't know who wrote this psalm, and you'll get to the scribes and the Pharisees, won't you? And the scribes were started by Ezra, and it was a laudable thing. We've come back to the Lamb. We must study the word. We must meditate on the word. And Ezra was a godly man who did that. But by the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scribes were well known for being a people who, as the Lord said, they sit in Moses' seat and tell you what to do, but they don't do it themselves. And that's the kind of teacher, I think, that is being thought of here. People with a theoretical knowledge of the Bible, but nevertheless cannot impart true wisdom because they are not walking with the Lord. And we certainly have that now. And we know that there have been sadly many, tragically many, theological colleges set up, and graduates sometimes quickly, but gradually they go off beam, and you end up with people in them who are teaching anything but the truth. They're teaching the Bible, and yet they're not teaching the gospel, they're not teaching it with understanding, they're not teaching it, as the psalmist says here, they're teaching it just as a book. Remember someone I knew who said, having gone through some theological training, that in the college he was in, if you were an evangelical, you could never get higher than a grade C. Grades went down from A to E. You couldn't get an A and a B if you were saying, well, this is God's word and I believe it, and the prophet or whoever means what he says, because you got marked down for that, because you're meant to say, no, he doesn't mean what he says, and it's just the word of man. There are plenty of people can learn the Bible, possibly, and remember it all, and still it's not in the heart. This is a man who loves God's law, and he meditates on it. And he has more understanding than his teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Your instructions, you're telling me how to live. That's what I meditate on. That's the wise way. And then he says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. This is a word which could mean ancients, as in people from a long time ago, or it could mean people who are around me now who've got a lot more years under their belt than I have. We don't know how old the psalmist was. And you're supposed to respect the aged. And you listen to them. And they're meant to be the people who do the teaching. And in their culture, they often were. And they'd sit in the city gate. They'd be the judges of cases. And they would have an accumulated wisdom. And yet you could go sometimes, and we can all envisage this, isn't it? And perhaps we've done this, sadly. You can go and visit someone who is an awful lot older than you, and you can listen to them teaching, and if they're talking about how to live your life, and if they're not a godly person, it can be really terrible. You know, how to get through this life, how to duck and dive, how to get rich, how to get your own way. People could say, you know, I've lived, I don't know, I don't want to look at anyone here. Some of us have talked about ages before you came in, the rest of you came in, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, and say, look, son, I know how to live. I'll tell you how to live. Well, if that's a godly person telling you from the word, that should be of tremendous benefit. But the psalmist is saying, I have meditated on God's word and I know more wisdom, true godly wisdom, than the person who's lived a long time, seen lots of things, maybe thought through lots of things, but not with their thoughts directed by the word of God. Now, you see, this should encourage us, shouldn't it? Because this is not about intellect. It assumes that you have the ability to study the word of God. But it's not saying, oh, am I more intelligent than these people? No, wiser. More understanding, more spiritual understanding, as Paul says in Colossians 1. Because I meditate on the word of God in order to do it. Compare with people who ignore it, or even if they study it, they have no interest in obedience. And it should encourage us that we don't have to go out there and think all these people out there are cleverer than me. In the things that really matter, which is living for God, if you know God and you meditate on his word because you love it, you are wiser and have more understanding than the wisest other person. That's the first result. Let's move on to the second one in verses 100 to 104. This is a little more diffuse, but not really, I think, as we pin it down. He goes on, verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? You might expect it, and often it is, the other way around. I keep your word, and that's in order not to do evil. Here it's the other way around. I keep my feet from every evil way. I restrain my feet from every evil way in order that I may keep your word. In other words, here is someone who says, I have your word. I want to keep your word. It's in front of me or behind me or wherever it is. But there is this straight path that I should walk. And here are all these, as Bunyan would say, bypath meadows, all these false ways that lead off. All the temptations to go this way and that way. And here is someone who says, I want to keep God's word, therefore I deliberately keep away and don't go down the paths of the temptations. Because my love for God's word is greater than my love for indulging in these sins. Deliberate renunciation of evil. We cannot both sin and obey, can we? And here we are responsible for doing this, aren't we? Before God. Psalm 34 and verse 34, I think it is. No, that can't be right. Psalm 34 and verse 14, sorry. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You see the order again. Turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. You can't say, I am seeking peace, pursuing peace, doing good, seeking to do good. But every time there's a temptation, I just turn off into it. No, that's not what we should be doing. And the meditation on God's word is that which leads us. Loving his law, therefore meditating on it, remember. And therefore restraining our feet from the evil ways. The next verse says the same thing, really. I have not departed from your judgments. But it says something else, doesn't it? It says, for you yourself have taught me. And God teaches us, doesn't he, in our conscience through the word. So that we consciously resist temptation. And to the measure that we do not depart from his judgments. You remember Martin Luther there, wasn't it? Dieter Worms and saying, I cannot say these things which I don't believe because I must be true to my conscience. It's not safe to part from conscience, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. And our conscience should be captive to God's word. Because the psalmist says, you yourself have taught me. Here we have, don't we, the relationship with God. The relationship which often occurs in the Psalms, and you find it in other places in the Old Testament as well, we know in the New Testament every believer has a relationship with God. Here in the Old Testament, every believer had a relationship with God. It's just that most of the people sadly weren't believers. But the believer, it crops up here and there, doesn't it? You have taught me. There it was. You through your commandments, verse 98. Here, you yourself have taught me. The consciousness that when we are learning how to do good and turn from evil and not depart from God's ways and what God says, God's judgments, God's declarations of right and wrong, that it's the Lord who has taught us. The Lord who is teaching us. It's not, is it, that we are meditating on the word and it happens. If we are meditating, let me put it this way. If we are meditating truly on the word as the psalmist means it, as the scripture means it, we are not just, are we sitting down there perhaps with our Bible and a few commentaries and this and that, and we're learning things. Oh, I haven't seen that before. Oh, well, that's fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Here is true meditation that has led to this. You have taught me. I sit with the Bible, he's saying, and with the Holy Spirit, and with myself. And I expect God to teach me, and he does. Teaches me through the word. Direct teaching. The sort of teaching that means that, and I want to be careful here, that if you can imagine a Christian with a Bible in a position where they have no church, no fellowship, no pastor, no one who can help them, can still learn how to live for God. If we have the opportunity of fellowship and sitting under teaching, of course that's right. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. But God makes up what he doesn't give. In one way, he gives it in another. And we have this great privilege, don't we, of having the Bible, and we can meditate on it. But we have to do it humbly. This is humility, isn't it? You yourself have taught me. I haven't found this out for myself. I can sit here and think about your word and try to understand it and I can get nowhere. That's what he's saying. But I haven't got nowhere because you have taught me. So it is prayerful meditation on the scripture that is here. And it leads on. It really, doesn't it? This is love for God and the relationship with God. And he says, you yourself have taught me. And you remember the great promise that's made to us in Christ, in Hebrews 8, taken from the Old Testament, of course, and quoted in verse 10 of the covenant God has. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. That's what the psalmist is saying, isn't it? And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbours, saying, know the Lord. They'll all know me from the least to the greatest. Here is this knowledge of God, which means that God speaks to us and teaches us. And so we get to Psalm 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's a fairly simple verse to understand, isn't it, really? Well, I don't know whether you have a sweet tooth or not. But honey would have been for them the sweetest thing that you could have tasted. And it's still very sweet, isn't it, compared with most other concoctions that man can come up with. If you have a spoonful of honey, it tastes sweeter than a spoonful of sugar, refined sugar. But he says, and he's using a simple analogy, isn't it? Your words to my taste are sweeter than honey is to my mouth. This is love for the word, isn't it? This is saying I want to take this in, and I find such a benefit from swallowing, as it were, the word of God, because he loves the word of God. And therefore we get to the last verse for tonight. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Hatred of sin increasing as spiritual understanding of God and his word, and delight in God's revealed word, actually increases. This is the increase that's being spoken of here, isn't it? Here is the word of God acting within us, gaining, as we said, this understanding, therefore I hate every false way. But if you go back to verse 101, I restrain my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. So it's a circle. It's a virtuous circle. I keep my feet from evil in order to keep your word, because I love your word. And I study your word and I gain understanding. And I gain understanding of what is evil and sinful. And therefore, because he loves God and he loves his word, he hates the evil way. And we all can confess, can't we, if we need to. We confess to God, but we could if we to ourselves, that there are, we could look back at our lives and we could say about the evil ways that we have loved and gone down, hopefully in small ways, but have done, and here is the answer, isn't it? Hating every false way. Well, because of the meditating on God's word, giving us understanding of what is right, and because we love God and we love his word, the hatred of sin grows within us. And that's what it should be like, isn't it? Delighting in God and his revealed will, and therefore hating sin. And these increase. Sin hated in practice, not just in theory. Sin hated in ourselves, not just in other people. And this ever increasing, hopefully virtuous circle, spiral as it were, upwards. And how do we break into that? We break into it by meditating on God's word. That's how we raise ourselves, though God, as we've read, raises us. But how we, the spiritual discipline, the spiritual practice that raises us up is continual meditation on the word of God. By his spirit, with his help, in order that we might do it, in order that we might learn and gain wisdom and understanding, to choose the right and to turn aside from the wrong. And so there is effort put in, but it brings its own reward, because as we do this, we find God's word more and more sweeter to our taste.